Because of you Guru, it already is joined with me. Namo Buddhaya Me. Namo
First, I ask you to just breathe three times, you know, following that this bell. So first, I have to say thank you to everybody, because as you, everyone knows what's happened to our country, you know, this March. And we are, of course, we are devastated by such a earthquake, tsunami things. But as everyone knows, we are getting so much prayers, so much support, so much help from all over the world. And we also got very good mails and telephones from Indian people. So because of your support, now Japan is okay. I know you have been hearing so many bad news, you know, from about us, you know, and like nuclear pollution or like that, you know. But I think we'll be okay, you know. So thank you so much for your support. Okay, so and so because of this very special situation in Japan. As I said, Japan is okay means now Japanese people, we are actually changing in terms of in spiritual sense, you know. Maybe from outside, as long as you just see, hear any news from newspaper or from CNN or BBC, maybe you cannot hear it, you know. But inside Japan, very, very drastic change is occurring right now, you know. So it means many people are becoming more spiritual oriented, you know. So because I'm doing a meditation class or that kind of things, you know, and I know it because more and more people are coming to my meditation class, you know, after earthquake, you know. And especially after earthquake, almost 2-3 months, Japan was just paralyzed, you know. So almost no movement except just really, you know, helping the people, you know. But 3 months passed, so almost from June, many people are coming to meditation class, you know. So it means I have so many commitments now in Japan. So that's why, you know, until last year, I always spending 2 months here in India. But now it's a little bit too difficult. So from this year, we have decided, I talked with Prashant or like that, you know, so we decided to just spend just 1 month, you know, so only December, you know. So that's why my schedule is now very packed, you know. So Delhi, and from tomorrow night, I'm going to Deer Park and spend almost 10 days. So we'll do 5 days retreat, you know, and I'll come back. And immediately, I'll fly to Bombay, you know. Then 3 days retreat, and I'll come back, and I'll go to Sankasia, you know, YBS people, you know, Shakya people. You know? And I'll spend almost 1 week with them. Then already end of December, you know. So then after that, I'll fly to Taiwan and spend almost 10 days, and we'll do again 3 days retreat in the middle of Taiwan, you know, like that. So, and this year, one of my students is accompanying me. This is Reiko, you know. She's actually yoga teacher, you know, and she's teaching traditional yoga, right? Traditional yoga. Traditional yoga, you know. It's okay. It's okay. And because until now, only me, I have been coming to Japan, to India, but from this year, I want to establish a little bit more relationship, my Japanese Sangha and Indian Sangha, you know. So now, because she is a yoga teacher, that's why she can take a 1 month vacation, you know, and she can say, she's coming to India to study or like that. So yoga teacher is okay, you know. Ordinary business people, they cannot, you know. So yoga only, it's her privilege, you know. So like that, okay. So tonight, first I'm going to give some talk about meditation. And immediately we'll do meditation, you know. Then after that, we'll have a just break and tea or like that. Then maybe after that, just a question answer, you know, something like this. You know? So in total, maybe two hours, a little bit like that, okay. And actually, many of us actually went to His Holiness teaching at Habitat Center, you know, and finally I could shake hands, you know, with him, you know. But anyway, his teaching is, as usual, is very clear, very basic, you know, like that. But he mentioned about today's situation in the world, you know, like always we are always separated. We and they, you know, we and they, you know. But now we cannot have such kind of attitude anymore because completely we are interdependent in terms of politics, in terms of economy or like that, you know. That's why we cannot say anymore we and they because there is just we, you know. India, China, America, Japan, Europe, you know. We cannot say India and the rest of the world, you know, because India cannot exist without the rest of the world. Japan cannot exist without the rest of the world, you know. So that's why we cannot say anymore we and they, because there is just we. That's it, you know. So this is a political situation, economical situation like that. But especially spiritual situation, you know, because like teaching like a Buddhism, always teaching there is just we, because we are completely interdependent, you know. So that's why His Holiness is always teaching, you know, this world always there is separation, we and they, you know, politically, economically. That's why you should study Buddhism to study interdependence, you know. But as you know, even in Buddhist community, you know, there is a we and they, you know, as you know, a little too much, you know. So that's why if we try to learn interdependence from Buddhist tradition, first we really have to realize this kind of separation between we and they in Buddhist community, you know. So that's why in Buddhist community, of course, there are so many kinds of traditions. There are so many kinds of schools and teachers, lineage, tradition, like that, you know. It's good. But sometimes, you know, as everyone knows, you know, sometimes these things become a little problematic, you know. Why? Because I respect my lineage, I respect my teacher, I respect my tradition. Wonderful. As long as you don't look down upon other tradition, you know. So, like I love my husband, I love my wife. It's okay. But if you say my husband is better than your husband, you know, or my wife is better than your wife, then it's big problem. You know, something happens. But actually, in Buddhist community, these kind of things are always happening. I respect my Rinpoche. It's good. But my Rinpoche is better than your Rinpoche. then it's big problem, you know. So that's why, then this is completely against Rinpoche's teaching, you know. This is completely against teaching. You know, we respect tradition, we respect lineage, we respect our teacher. It doesn't mean we look down upon other teaching, other sect, other lineage, or like that, you know. So, but as long as we think there's so many kinds of traditions, so many kinds of teaching, so many kinds of teachers, practically we have to choose just one tradition, one teacher, you know, one sect. It's okay. Why? Because we feel very strong connection with some particular teacher, you know. Then we have a relationship with him, with her, you know, this student-teacher relationship. Why? A person like Kenzo Rinpoche always says, you know, because there is some kind of past connections, you know, obviously. And I think everyone in this room know it. You know, you have some kind of special, intimate feeling with some particular teacher, you know. It doesn't mean you don't respect other teacher, you look down upon other teacher. It's not like that. You respect other teacher also, you know, but you feel some intimate feeling with this particular person, you know, particular teacher, you know. So it's because of between you and him, there's, of course, past connections, you know, like that. So because now in Japan, I am a sort of a teacher's position, you know, and many people are coming, you know. And I feel, and they feel also, some kind of connection, you know. It's probably past connection, you know. Then we can have a good relationship as a teacher and student, like that. It's one thing, you know. But it doesn't mean, or it should not be like, this is my teacher, I have a very intimate feeling, personal feeling, I respect him. It's okay, it's wonderful. But you should not look down upon other teacher or something like that, you know. So that's why we can have some particular intimate relationship with a particular teacher, particular tradition, particular lineage. But at the same time, we should be completely open to all other teachers, all other sect, all other lineage, you know. This is actually basic spirit of Buddhism, you know. But unfortunately, you know, unfortunately, these 2,500 years, it's not exactly always like this, you know. So that's why. But now, to 21st century, because of this, because of internet, because of, you know, very easy to travel, you know. So that's why now we are actually anyway meeting each other, you know, especially in India, we are constantly meeting any kind of traditions. You know. That's why, especially here, we should have a completely open mindedness toward all the traditions. You know. So then, in my case, you know, as Raji explained, I practiced in 20 years in Japanese tradition in Soto Zen school. And after that, I went to Myanmar and I practiced with my Theravada teacher. And then I came to this Nepal, India, and Tibetan tradition. And I didn't become official student of any particular Rinpoche, but I became very good friend with Kenzen Rinpoche like that. You know? So I am not officially Tibetan student like that, but I have been having a good relationship with Tibetan Sangha. You know? So anyway, so that's why I have been having a very good relationship with these three traditions, you know. But now I feel I have to advance one step further, you know. I have to advance one step further, and then. Then, of course, I myself a product of all these traditions, all this lineage, mainly Japanese Zen and Theravada, you know. But now, I really have to advance one step further, and I really wanna attain something not sticking to any particular lineage, but a little bit go beyond it, you know. Why? Because, as I said, sometimes, you know, lineage, traditions, those kind of things can be some kind of obstacle. I'm not saying tradition is not bad. Of course I'm not saying like that. But sometimes if we have a very strange attachment to lineage or that kind of things, you know, then sometimes can be obstacle, you know. That's why I want to advance one step further, you know. Then where, you know, then actually now I'm saying, you know, let's come back, okay, let's return to here, you know, let's return to here, let's go back to here, you know, here, what? This miserable me, you know? Miserable heart, you know. So here, there is some kind of reality, you know. Maybe some of you call yourself Tibetan Buddhist, some of you call Japanese Zen Buddhist, some of you call yourself Theravada Buddhist, or maybe Christian, or like that. But before being Tibetan Buddhist, or such a Buddhist, like that, you are just a human being, you know. You know, you are just a human being. You have a body, you have mind, you know. Then you have a very realistic, this reality, you know. And we have a heart. And sometimes it's painful, you know, like that. So then let's come back to this reality itself, you know. So it means like a... Just imagine, you know, we are sick person. We are sick, you know. Then, of course, we really want to cure our sickness, you know. Then we go to hospital, we meet a doctor, or like that, you know. But sometimes, oh, my hospital is the best hospital, you know. Or my doctor is best doctor, you know, like that. And then we just chatting about the hospital, or chatting about the doctors, or chatting about such and such, you know. And we don't see our sickness itself. We don't see our disease itself, you know. Why? One reason. Because we don't want to see it. we don't want to face our sickness. You know, then we start talking about how wonderful my hospital is, you know, how great my doctor is, you know, something like that. But the hospital or doctor, they are of course extremely important as long as you try to cure your disease, you know. So if we ignore our own disease and then we just talk about hospital things or doctors or like that, then it's completely meaningless. Okay, so that's why I'm now suggesting just for a while, you know. Okay, of course your teacher is good, your lineage is good, your tradition is good, you know. But for a while, just 1 week, one day, just let's see our own heart, you know, our own disease, like that, you know. It doesn't mean we should ignore all these things. No, it's not like that, you know. So, because only when we see our own disease, at that time we can understand the true meaning of medicine, you know. At that time, then we can understand true meaning of tradition, true meaning of the teaching of your teacher, true meaning of lineage, true meaning of such and such a things, you know. So, but sometimes, you know, we just forget about our own disease and we just chatting about all these things. Okay, so that's why, as I said, I am a product of many lineages, mainly Japanese Zen and Theravada. But now I'm talking only from this point of view, you know. So of course, my teaching, if you check my teaching, you can find very easily influence of Japanese Zen, influence of Theravada Buddhism, and just a little bit from Tibetan tradition, you know. But I'm not teaching just sort of Japanese Zen, sort of Theravada or sort of Tibetan, but I'm teaching about this one itself, you know. So then, today, His Holiness is talking a lot, was talking a lot about compassion. You know, compassion, you know. And one woman asked a very good question. And actually, many people are asking the same question even to me, you know. Of course, His Holiness emphasizes the importance of compassion, you know. And then one woman said, you know, yes, she understands the importance of compassion. And then she feels very intimate feeling towards some friends, you know. Then friends becomes very unhappy. Maybe many unhappy things happened to her friend. Then she was so overwhelmed by her her friend's unhappiness, you know, like that. So it means because of compassion, because she has a compassion towards her friend, she is becoming like a more depressed or like that because she feels her friend's unhappiness like that. So practicing of compassion, am I becoming weak or something like that, you know? Then His Holiness, of course, explained completely opposite things, you know? But I think, you know, all these compassion things or anything like that, you know, you can feel a little bit more easily the compassion itself if you do meditation, you know. So then compassion, by having compassion, you don't become weak. You don't become just overwhelmed. You don't become just emotional, you know. But you can become stronger, you can become more stable. But as you know, compassion meditation usually doesn't work well, you know. So that's why we face all these difficult points in our meditation, you know. That's why now I'm offering our own meditation method, you know. recently, we just name it One Dharma Method, you know, One Dharma Method. Because One Dharma means One Dharma means there are so many kind of lineage, tradition like that. But it's superficially, yes. You know, superficially, yes. Of course, Tibetan tradition, Theravada tradition, Japanese, Korean, Chinese Zen tradition, and each in tradition, of course, there are many sects, as you know very well, you know. But superficially, yes. But actually, there should be only just one Dharma. Just one Dharma. It means just one truth, you know. So that's why I have been learning so many meditation methods, techniques from this lineage or tradition from teachers like that, you know. So, but now I'm not teaching exactly Japanese Zen tradition was Myanmar tradition like that, you know. But I'm actually teaching just one truth, one Dharma meditation, you know. Then, because I want to just give you just essence, essential point of meditation itself, you know. Then meditation, what is the point of meditation? You know, of course, there are so many techniques, so many theories, so many such and such like that. And if you check the old Buddhist texts, you know, maybe you'll be just confused, you know, of course, because this tradition, this say such and such, another tradition such and say such and such. If you go to some meditation center, they teach you this kind of meditation method, and if you go to another meditation center, you will be given completely different kind of meditation, like that, you know, meditation technique, you know. But but if you, yes, superficially, of course, there are many kinds of meditation techniques, you know. But if you really go deeper, you know, you will find just one meditation method. That's it. You know, that's it. You know, or you can say, you can find just one purpose. Of course, you use many kind of meditation method, meditation techniques. For why? Because for only one purpose, only one reason, you know. So to do this, yes, sometimes you use this technique, sometimes you use this, and some tradition emphasize this one, some teacher emphasize this one, sometimes some lineage emphasize this one. Yes, it's true. But all these things, for what? Only for one reason, only for one purpose, you know. So that's why if we really understand this one purpose, then we can say, yes, then we can use any kind of techniques, you know, any kind of technique, you know, as you like, you know. But if you miss this point, then you will be confused. Why? Because this technique and that technique are slightly different. And this teacher and that teacher say a little bit different things, you know. And this lineage and that lineage, a little bit different, you know. But if you really forget about all these superficial differences, if you really concentrate on just one truth, then you can accept everything, you know. So that's why only this is most important point, you know. Then why? Then, why should we meditate? You know, now I'm explaining. We really have to move from one room to another room, you know. So then we can say there are two rooms, you know. But from the beginning, many people cannot accept this idea. Why? Because for most of the people in this world, they think there is only one room, you know. It means one room or one dimension or anything like that, you know. So, like now, we are, everyone is sitting in this room, you know, Sundere Nagar's, you know, Mr. Suresh's house, you know. And at the same time, we know outside of this room, there are many rooms, many outside world, you know. But just imagine, you are born in this room, you know. You have been living only in this room, you know. So then, you cannot imagine outside world. You know, this room is only one room which you know. And then you even don't know that you are living in Sundere Nagar. You know, why? Because you know only this room and you know nothing outside of this Sundere Nagar. But because we know outside world and we know that this room is situated in Sundere Nagar, New Delhi, India, like that. Okay? So, point is, we are human being from our birth. We have been living in just one room. What kind of room? I would say it's just my room of thinking mind. I usually say room of thinking mind. Okay? So, it means, what are you doing all day long? You might say, oh, I'm doing such a shopping, or working, or business, or sleeping, or having conversation, or cooking, or like that. It's true. But it's not true. From morning till night, you are doing only one thing, just one thing. So what is this? You are just thinking. That's it, you know. So, you are just thinking from morning till night, you know. So, of course, thinking and you are shopping, you are brushing your teeth, you are eating, you are talking, or you are drinking coffee or like that. But while you are doing all these activities, you are doing only one thing, just thinking, you know. So, then even you don't know that you are thinking, you know, because it's so natural for you, you know. Like there is air, but you don't even think of this air itself, you know. Then you go to meditation class, you know. Then meditation teacher give you meditation method. What kind of method? Some teacher says concentrate on your breathing, or just be aware of your body sensation, you know, or just be aware of right step, left step, be aware of just or visualize something like that, you know, like that. Then, can you do that? Of course you cannot, you know. You try to watch your breath, but of course you cannot. Why? Only one reason. Because your mind is just jumping around, you know. Just jumping around. So, only then you will find, oh, I'm just thinking, you know. So, that's why when people do meditation, and most of them just fail, you know. And I say, oh, congratulations, you know. Congratulations. Why? Because then you will find the most important thing in your life. What do you find? You will find, oh, I just can't meditate. Why? Because my mind is always jumping around. My mind is just always thinking, you know. My mind is always such and such and such, you know. But before you fail in your meditation, you didn't know it. But now you know it, you know. So then now you know that you are living always in the room of thinking mind. That's it, you know. So then, today's subject of His Holiness talk is art of happiness, how to be happy, you know. And then, of course, as usual, happiness completely depends on your mind. You know, it's not depends on money or outside things, you know, of course. Then mind or consciousness is only one thing which matters to become happy, you know. Yes, it's true, you know, but then what should we do, you know? So that's why I want all the audience in His Holiness teaching, want to invite them to hear, you know, because I can give you a little more practical way of becoming happy, you know. Okay? So just please understand, as long as you stay in the same room as you have been, it means the room of thinking mind. I would say you cannot become happy. It's as simple as like that. Very simple, right? So it has nothing to do with your boyfriend, girlfriend, money or like that, or sick or healthy. It's not like that. Or any meditation techniques or teachers or like that. No, not like that, you know. But as long as you stay in the same room as you have been, you cannot become happy. That's it. It's as simple as like that. You know. So then, when you fail in your meditation, finally you realize, my mind is always jumping around and my mind is always just thinking or like that, you know. And I have been living in the room of thinking mind, you know. But sometimes you succeed in meditation for 10 seconds, you know. For 10 seconds, for some strange reason, you could watch your breathing very peacefully. Your mind doesn't go anywhere. You could see your in-breath, out-breath, in-breath, out-breath for 1 minute. And you will, you experienced extremely peaceful mind, you know. Why? And you felt always stressed, always depressed, always miserable, as long as your mind is jumping around, you know. So then, little by little, you will realize, there are some kind of two rules, you know. One is, in one room, your mind is always jumping around. And second room, your mind doesn't go anywhere. Your mind is just aware of your meditation subject. Something like that, you know. So, it seems like there are two kinds of room, you know. And seems like meditation is something like moving from room A to room B. Something like that, you know. So, then this room A, room B, your happiness and your unhappiness also deeply related with this room A, room B. And maybe you can say that I'm just unhappy as long as I'm in the room A. And I feel so peaceful. I feel so free in room B. Something like that, you know. So, because when I hear people's question to His Holiness or like that, I feel very strong confusion among people. Why? Because His Holiness is always talking about room B, you know. But people are living in the room A, you know. So that's why His Holiness is talking about how compassion is important, but he is talking about room B, you know. And then people in the room A accept his teaching and think of compassion. But if I have compassion, I have unhappy friends, you know. And if I think of her, I become more depressed, you know. Then why compassion make me free? Compassion make me depressed, you know, like that. So I understand this difference. Because His Holiness is already in the room B, you know. But people are left in room A, you know. That's why His Holiness teaching about compassion doesn't work. Or I'm not, of course, please don't misunderstand. No. We receive his teaching from Room A's point of view. Then compassion, because of compassion, we become more depressed, as such a one woman questions in this afternoon, you know, like that. So, but if you understand this Room A, Room B, then if you can really go to Room B, then you can understand everything which His Holiness is talking about, you know. But if you stay in the Room A, you cannot understand. His Holiness said compassion makes us free or happy, but I don't think so, because of compassion I become more depressed, you know, like that, you know. So then point is, how can we go to Room A to Room B, you know? Then now I'm suggesting three things, you know, and tonight I hope we can do it, you know. First, we try to become aware of body sensation, okay? The second, compassion meditation. Then third, breathing meditation, you know? Of course, this is the most basic Buddhist meditation. You are already familiar, you know? But actually, now in Japan, we are doing these three things step by step. First, be aware of body sensation, compassion, then compassion meditation, then mindfulness of in-breath, out-breath. 1, 2, 3, you know. Then it works. Actually, it works. Beautifully works. And so from this year, we are doing in our retreat in Japan, and many people actually can move from Room A to Room B, you know. Then many people feel so liberated, happy, or like that. Okay, so then I'll explain, and let's practice little by little, you know. Of course, awareness of body sensation, of course, sounds familiar, you know. Oh no, I went to such a kind of retreat many times, you know, and I know how to do it, you know. It's okay, you know, but here we don't do any complicated things. We just do just like a right hand, okay? So usually everyone has a body, you know, but usually we never think of our body unless there's a very strong pain or unless very something uncomfortable things, you know. But as long as you don't have a stomachache, you don't have a toothache, you know, and if you are not so tired or if you are not hungry, then you just don't think of your body. That's it. Okay? So, but your body is always functioning, you know. Your right hand is doing so many jobs in your daily life, you know. But you never say thank you to your right hand, you know. So, then you never think of right hand, okay? So, but now we just be aware of right hand. Then what happens? Okay? So, because we start from body sensation, why? Because to be aware of body sensation is very easy. Why? Because if we are aware of body sensation, it's very easy to let go of our thinking mind. Why? Because if we start from awareness of in-breath, out-breath, mindfulness of in-breath, out-breath, you know, so-called anapanasati, many people just cannot. Why? People try to watch in-breath, out-breath, and usually it doesn't work, you know. But body sensation is not like that. It's not like you are trying to watch body sensation. Not like that. You just feel body sensation. That's it. So it means there is no tension, you know. It's not like I am watching body sensation. Not like that. You are just jump into the body sensation, you know. So usually we can avoid unnecessary tension in the awareness of body sensation, you know. We practice compassion meditation. Why? Because after practicing body sensation, your thinking mind has already dropped, you know. Okay? So when your thinking mind dropped, now you are entering into room B, from room A to room B. Okay? Then compassion exists only in the room B. That's it. That's why His Holiness and audience, you know, misunderstanding audience exists exactly here. Why? His Holiness is talking about compassion in the room B, but most of us are staying still in the room A. That's why we cannot understand. Why? Because real compassion doesn't exist in room A. And in the room A's point of view, compassion means just vulnerability, you know? Vulnerability. If you are compassionate, then people are trying to use you. Yes, you have compassion. Okay, please give me money or like that, you know? And usually if we, Buddhist teacher, go to especially America or like that, you know, then talk about compassion, the immediate people ask teacher, but if I practice compassion, I'll become vulnerable. So what should I do? You know, like that, you know. So, but this is completely room A's point of view. Okay? So, now, feeling body sensation, we are letting go of our thinking mind, then we are entering into room B. So only there, compassion exists. Okay? Then by practicing compassion, we can really deepening of our experiencing of room B. Okay? So only then, finally, we can have a mindfulness. You know? Of course, mindfulness, I think all of you are already familiar with this mindfulness. You know? But what is mindfulness? We are aware of something, you know. Oh, teacher says, Buddhist teacher says, oh, you should be mindful. Mindful of what? Mindful of breathing, you know. Mindful of such and such, you know. Then, of course, mindfulness is a very popular word, you know. So I should become mindful of such and such, you know. And I know I am breathing in, I am breathing out. But what is the difference? You know, even in this world, you know that there's a red signal, you know, green signal. You know? So I'm aware of red signal, I'm aware of green signal, and I'm aware of in-breath, I'm aware of out-breath. What's the difference? You know? So until now, you have been aware of red signal, green signal, you are aware of this is a sundanaga, you are aware that, you know, this is a flowers or like that. You have been aware of all these things. But now Buddhist teacher is talking about mindfulness of in-breath, out-breath. So what's the difference? You know? So if you don't understand the difference between mindfulness, which Buddhist teacher is talking about, and awareness of something, you know, then if you are aware of in-breath out-breath, this is Buddhist teaching, Buddhist meditation, and if you are aware of just signals, it's just secular things, it doesn't make any sense, you know. So that's why we really have to understand the true meaning of mindfulness. Otherwise, mindfulness meditation doesn't work. because people are not clearly, people are not aware of the difference these two things. That's why people have been aware of blue red signal, blue signal, and people are aware of in-breath, out-breath, you know. That's why. It means people are mindful of in-breath, out-breath exactly in the same way as they have been aware of blue signal, red signal. You understand? That's why this is not Buddhist meditation. Okay? So that's why many people say, yes, I know I am breathing in, I know I am breathing out, but I don't feel any peaceful mind. I know, I feel I'm somebody saying, I know, but I'm not at all peaceful. Something like that. Why? Because people are aware of in-breath, out-breath in the same way as people are aware of red signal, green signal. Okay? So, true meaning of mindfulness is you can be mindful only when your thinking mind dropped. But strategy of mindfulness practice is people try to be mindful by with their thinking mind, you know. So if you try to be mindful with your thinking mind, you become just stressed, you know. So because I have been teaching mindfulness of breathing meditation, but many people complained they just can't. Why? Because they just cannot let go of their thinking mind. So if you cannot let go of your thinking mind, then if you try to watch your in-breath, out-breath, it's extremely stressful. You just can't. Maybe you can do it, but with very big stress, you know. Like that. But, you know, now, okay, you are aware of body sensation, so your thinking mind dropped. And you are entering into this room B, and you are practicing compassion, and then little by little, you are settling down in the room B. Only then, at that time, your thinking mind already has settled down. Only then, there is true mindfulness. You know, there's true mindfulness. No thinking mind anymore. Then you can be aware of in-breath, out-breath. You can be aware of your anger. You can be aware of your attachment. You can be aware of such things. You know? So, that's why then what happens? Then what's the difference between room A and room B? You know, room A, you are just thinking. And not only just you are thinking, but you think. So who are you? You are just a combination of thinking mind and this body. That's it. And with some kind of emotion, you know, like that. So this is you, that's it. Okay? Then, so you are just a thinking mind and this body and with emotion, you know. As long as you stay in the room A, you cannot think of anything else, you know. Then, but it's too much. So then you love the concept of God or something greater than you or something like that, you know. But as long as you stay in the room A, all these things doesn't make any sense, you know. Or maybe you just think of them, but you don't feel it, you know. But if you can enter into room B, your thinking mind has already dropped. But you are not dead. You are not dead. You still exist. You know? You still exist. without thinking mind. You know? So then, your understanding about who you are completely different. Why? Because there is no thinking mind anymore, but you still exist. So, who are you? You know, it's different. So, usually, I'm going to Deer Park from tomorrow night, and we'll do a retreat, and I call the retreat Sattu Consciousness Meditation Retreat, you know, Sattu Consciousness, you know. So, Sattu Consciousness and Rough Consciousness. Rough Consciousness, you know. Rough Consciousness means, of course, thinking mind. Okay? Then, Room A, there is only thinking mind. You cannot think, you cannot see anything else. Okay? And you are the thinking mind, you know. But Room B, thinking mind dropped. But you are not dead. You are not unconscious, you know. You are still exist. You still exist with very clear awareness, with very peaceful awareness. You know, so I call it just subtle consciousness. You know, we can call, of course, we can call it with so many names. You know, if you love Tibetan terminology, please use it. If you love Zen terms, please use Zen terms. You know. You can, and if you use more Indian traditional terms, of course you can use it. But it's just the same thing, you know. So that's why I just use the word very neutral, sattu consciousness, you know. So thinking mind, sattu consciousness, you know. Of course, between thinking mind, sattu consciousness, of course there are so many things, you know, but now I just simplify everything, you know. So then in Zen tradition, and I'm not familiar with Tibetan tradition, but some Tibetan teachers also using this metaphor, and like a blue sky and white cloud, you know, and this is very famous, you know, and many Zen masters, they use this metaphor, you know. So Room A, what? There is only just clouds, you know, and you are the cloud, you know, and your meditation is always like a cloud is watching other clouds, you know. So cloud is watching in-breath, out-breath, but just like that, okay? Then your mind is just jumping around, but you try to catch your mind, and you should watch you like that, but constantly fighting, you know. So why? Because Room A, only there are only clouds, okay. But if you go to Room B, what's happened? Okay, cloud sometimes dropped, sometimes there's no cloud, but sometimes there's cloud. It's okay, doesn't matter. Why? Because now you know that you are not clouds. Why? Because sometimes there's no cloud, but you are not dead. You are not unconscious. You can be aware that there is no cloud. So what does it mean? Of course, it means you are blue sky. You know? So at that time, Room A, Room B, so who you are in this different. Room A, you are just clouds. Room B, you are blue sky with clouds, you know. So you are just this whole scene, you know. So then, what happens? If you are blue sky with clouds, then do you still care about clouds? Of course not, you know. Of course not. Just cloud a little bit. Black clouds, white clouds, doesn't matter. Because clouds are just extreme small things comparing with this vast blue sky. Like that. Okay? So, then, as I said, meaning of mindfulness changes in room A, room B. Okay? Room A, meaning of mindfulness means cloud is mindful of other clouds, you know, like that. That's why I am aware of in-breath, out-breath, but I don't feel any peaceful mind. Of course you cannot. Why? Because you are watching your white cloud's mind is watching other cloud's object, you know. That's why seems like this person is mindful, but actually not, you know. Then what's happened to room B? Then true meaning of mindfulness means blue sky is watching white clouds. Okay? So, or we can say, if you are truly mindful of something, actually you are standing in the blue sky, you know. Now, in Japan, we are explaining like that. When you become mindful of something, at that time, you are becoming blue sky, and from blue sky, you as blue sky is watching clouds, like that. So at that time, the place where you are standing is now different, you know, like that. So that's why His Holiness is teaching only from room B point of view, and he is talking about compassion or like that. But the people in room B cannot understand, you know. So that's why. But don't worry. Then please don't think, oh, His Holiness is a very special person, you know. We need a 50 years practice. Actually, not. Tonight, you can go to room B, you know, in 30 minutes, you know. Okay. Okay, so from now, let's practice, you know. So, as I said, consciousness meditation means please watch everything from blue sky point of view. You know, now I just give you just image. You know, just you are just imagining. But now, little by little, you can feel like that, okay? So then we just practice and for a while, and then have a tea and do question answers, okay? Okay, so for sitting posture, most important thing is keeping your back straight, okay? And your hands, you can put your hands on your knees, okay? Okay, let's just take a 3 deep breath, breathing out from your mouth, using your mouth, breathing in through your nose, breathing out from your mouth, breathing in through your nose, and so on. Okay, so now, first, we are aware of our just right hand. Your right hand has been working from morning till night. You know? Your right hand has been doing millions of things. But you never said thank you to your right hand. But now, let's say thank you to your right hand. Okay? Then, and as I say, you never pay attention to your right hand unless there are some kind of mosquito bites or injury or like that. But now, you don't feel itchy, you don't feel pain. So that's why you don't pay attention to your right hand. But now, let's pay attention to your right hand. It means, please enter into your right hand. Just feel it. Feel from inside. Don't you feel something like something going on? I know Some people just cannot feel it. Some people feel just there's just blank. But it's not true. So many things are going on inside your right hand from medical point of view or anything like that, you know. But usually you don't pay attention to it. That's why you don't feel it. But if you pay attention to the inside of your right hand, you will feel something is really going on. Okay, something's moving, some kind of itchy things, you know, superficially, or some kind of heat, some kind of softness, hardness. Okay, so let's move your attention from your right hands to your little body, to your arms, your right arm. And right shoulder. Okay, so then left hand, and left arm, and left shoulder. Please just feel everything from inside. You can do it. Okay, both arms are okay, right? So let's go to the feet, right foot. From ankle and knees. And left side. And please move your attention to up. Your abdomen, your chest, and your shoulders. So your whole body except your head. Please just feel it. And finally, your neck and your head, and then your whole body, just as one. Just feel it. This is the easiest way of entering into room B. Okay, so now room B is appearing in front of you. But one of the most important element of room B is actually compassion. So by cultivating compassion, you are really entering deeply into room B. So, difference between room A and room B is, of course, ego. You know, His Holiness says, ego-centered, self-centered. It means ego exists in the middle of your life, in the room A. And room B, ego is gone. And just compassion is there. So compassion is actually opposite of ego. In traditional understanding, compassion is actually opposite of anger, you know. But if you investigate a little deeply, then we can say compassion is just opposite of our ego. So room A, just your ego is controlling all human relationships. That's why any human relationship in room A just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. That's it. It has nothing to do with the other people. But we think some relationship didn't work. We think, oh, this person was wrong, so I have to find the right person. But you cannot, as long as you stay in the room A. Any human relationship doesn't work in the room A. So room A, we can have only three kinds of relationships, like, dislike, indifference. So room A, we say clouds is watching other clouds. So we can also say, as a clouds, we love white cloud, we hate black cloud, and we are indifferent to the distant cloud. That's it. But as long as I have a human relationship with other clouds, any relationship doesn't work. Okay? So compassion, we are trying to let go of our ego, and we try to establish completely new human relationship. Okay? So that's why in compassion meditation, we send compassion to the people whom we like, we don't like, and we are indifferent to. These kind of three kinds of people. But before sending compassion to these three groups, we send compassion to ourselves. Ourselves. Why? You know, like an ego. And sometimes we say egoistic. Oh, no, you should not be egoistic. You should be altruistic. You know, you should think of other people. You know? But our ego is thinking of our own benefit, our own happiness. But everyone knows story is not so simple like that. You know, just imagine, if your ego is really looking for always your own happiness, you should have become happy much, you know, long time ago. But actually, nobody is happy. Why? Because our ego is not looking for our own happiness. But actually, everyone knows our ego is actually always seeking for some kind of unhappiness. You know, if you are familiar with psychology, you know that, you know, we just cannot stop negative emotions. Why? Because we love it. Exactly speaking, not we, but our ego loves negative emotions. You know? Why? Because our ego depends on negative emotions. Our ego feeds on energy of negative emotions. Our ego needs negative energy as a food. This is only one reason why we just cannot stop negative energy. you know. So as long as your ego controls your life, your ego always needs negative energy. It means negative emotions. That's why you just couldn't stop your negative emotions like attachment, resentment, anger, anxiety, like that. Anxiety is a very strange feeling. You just can't stop your anxiety. Why? Because your ego needs negative energy. And more you worry, of course, more you get negative energy, which your ego needs. That's why you couldn't stop worrying about something, you know. But now, all the structure is very clear. And now, you don't have to follow your ego, okay? So, let's do completely opposite thing. If your ego always plays like this, may I be miserable, okay? Your ego is always playing, may I be miserable. You know, this is our reality. But that's why let's do completely opposite things, you know. Please pray like this. May I be well and happy. May I be free from any kind of suffering. Please contemplate for a while. So now you are free. You are free from your ego. Why? Because you understand what your ego is. And you don't follow ego's demand anymore. Okay? So now we really have to establish completely different kind of human relationship. Our old relationship is completely based on our ego, but now we are free from our ego. That's why we can have a new relationship. Okay. So, but let's start from an easy relationship, like with our people whom we like, we respect. That kind of people. Okay. So please pick up just one person. One person is enough. Whom you like so much, you respect so much. You know, your intimate friend or your teacher, anybody like that. So please put him or her in front of you, 1.5 meters distance. And you can see his face, her face. They are smiling happily. And you love so much their happy smile and you really want them to be continuously happy, then please pray, may this person be well and happy. But now they look a little miserable, and you can feel their pain, their agony, their anxiety, and you really want them to be free from them. And please pray, may this person be free from their suffering. But don't worry, you don't become depressed. Why? Because you are not anymore in the room A, but you are in the room B. Over there, you feel other people's misery, you feel other people's suffering, but you are not affected by it. Okay? May this person be well and happy. May this person be free from their suffering. Okay, so you picked up your favorite person whom you like. But when you send compassion to this person, your compassion goes beyond already just a simple, like some kind of affection. And your compassion is already reaching far away. Your compassion is reaching already all the people, including people whom you don't know. You know? So that's why compassion is not just a simple liking. Because like, dislike, you like just only certain people, but you don't like other people. But compassion, if you have a compassion, your compassion will go to everybody, including people whom you don't know. Okay, so pick up anybody, one person whom you don't know, like when you came to this Sundel Nagao, you met so many strangers whom you don't know. Maybe you might remember just one person, you know? Then please put him or her in front of you, like as you did before, and please do same thing May this person be well and happy. May this person be free from any kind of suffering. So now, you love everybody. It's not anymore you like someone, you don't like other people. No, your compassion embraces everybody, literally. Okay? So at that time, when your compassion embraces everybody, in your mind there's absolutely no negative emotion. You know? But we have never been free from negative emotion until now. But now, we are absolutely free from any kind of negative emotions. Okay? But of course, we have been having so many kind of negative emotions. That's why such a negative emotion actually have been accumulated in some places in our mind. They are just hiding. They are just sleeping. Okay? But they exist. So that's why we also try to transform such kind of negative emotion which are hiding. Okay? It's easy. Just pick up one person whom you don't like. He just insulted you. He just let you down. You know, that kind of person. If you think of him or her, immediately negative emotion is coming back. Then please do exactly the same thing as you did. Okay, please put her in front of you, and then please pray the same thing. May this person be well and happy. May this person be free from any kind of suffering. So right now, your negative emotion towards certain people also can be transformed. Now you are free. Then just imagine if you don't, if you are completely free from hatred, anger, like that, how happy you are. Okay? So then let's pray like this. May all beings be well and happy. May all beings be free from any kind of suffering. We finished compassion meditation, but then finally we can do a breathing meditation. Why? Because we can be mindful of our in-breath, out-breath only in the room B, which is we can call it compassion room. Okay? So, but we can do this transition from compassion to breathing. Actually, we can use some another kind of compassion meditation. It means synchronizing compassion and breathing. Okay? Some of you maybe is already familiar with it, you know? Okay, so now please pick up just one person who is tremendously suffering, mentally suffering, physically suffering, economically suffering, anything, any suffering is okay. Okay? Just one person. And you just feel his suffering, her suffering. And you really want them to be free. And you want to do anything for him, for her. You just want to take their suffering. You know? Okay, let's take it. Just imagine you are picking up one person who is suffering. Then this suffering, you can clearly visualize just very dark smoke. It's not just imagination. Actually, if you are familiar with physical healing, healer always feels such a dark, smoky things in patient body. Okay? So, but you want to get rid of it. How? by breathing in. So by breathing in, you are also breathing your friend's suffering into your body. But usually you cannot such kind of things, you know. But now you are already filled with compassion. That's why you can accept, you can receive other people's suffering. Okay, breathing in, may this person be free from any kind of suffering. That's why this people's suffering as a very dark smoke is entering into your body. But because you are now in the middle of compassion, that's why this suffering, this dark smoke, is immediately transformed into light, compassionate light. This is not visualization, you know, this is not imagination. It's really happening if you have a compassion. Okay? Then let's return this compassionate light to this person by breathing out. Okay? Breathing in, you are taking other people's suffering into your body. Breathing out, you are returning compassionate light to this person. Okay? So last 10 minutes, let's just concentrate on just in-breath, out-breath. But already in-breath, out-breath is so clear for you. You know, so you don't have to think of any more compassion, but you just feel compassion already. So then just let's concentrate on just in-breath, out-breath. Breathing in, you know that you are breathing in. Breathing out, you know that you are breathing out. Let's do it for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.